Blade Runner verdict.
Guilty of culpable homicide.
School shooter jailbreak.
He was captured without incident.
A star-spangled anniversary. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. South African Blade Runner Oscar Pistorius has been found guilty of culpable homicide in the shooting death of girlfriend Reva Steenkamp. The judge said there wasn't enough evidence to prove Pistorius knew who was behind a locked bathroom door when he opened fire, but the double amputee was negligent.
A reasonable person in the position of the accused with similar disability would have foreseen that whoever was behind the door might be killed by the shot.
CBS's Deborah Pata was in the courtroom.
Reva Steenkamp's mother sat stony-faced, stoic as she has done through much of this trial. But Reva's friends could not hold back, bursting into floods of tears.
Pistorius, who's been reduced to tears several times during the long trial, showed no emotion today. He faces up to 15 years in prison. Here at home, a prison escape in Ohio, and one of the three people on the run was a teenager convicted of killing three students at his high school in 2012. But after 6 hours, Highway Patrol Captain Gary Allen says 19-year-old T.J. Lane was caught.
They were able to shut the perimeter down pretty quick, so that's why he wasn't able to get out any further than he did.
The two others were captured, too. Lane's brief escape sent shockwaves through Chardon, Ohio, where the school murders took place. Classes are canceled there today. A report now alleges Ray Rice told NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in June that he punched his then-fiancée, knocking her out in a casino elevator. Goodell told CBS News he never got a clear picture of what happened till he saw the video this week. Rice's former employer, Baltimore Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti, tells CBS's James Brown he regrets not getting that video earlier.
The question is, why didn't we try harder with the casino? Because it would have been illegal for the casino to give it to us, so we stopped.
The Rice story hung over last night's Ravens game.
Ravens fans welcomed a 26-6 win over the rival Pittsburgh Steelers.
We're very happy, of course.
How about you?
I think the team came out focused and ready to play, and they made it happen tonight.
And even a few fans were wearing Rice's old number 27 jersey. Robert Langford, CBS News, Baltimore.
America's new battle plan against the terror group ISIS is beginning to take shape. CBS's David Martin is at the Pentagon.
Armed reconnaissance planes will be based in Erbil, freeing up unmanned drones to conduct surveillance missions over ISIS safe havens in Syria. In recent weeks, ISIS fighters have taken over entire bases complete with ammunition dumps which once belonged to the Syrian Air Force and which now could become targets for American airstrikes.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. There's a setback for President Obama's call for a new anti-terror coalition. Germany rejects joining airstrikes. It promised other support. In another disappointment for the U.S., Turkey won't publicly back the U.S. strategy. France is ready to join in airstrikes. Leaders of 10 Arab countries told Secretary of State Kerry they'd do their share.
We are engaged in a very significant global effort to curb terrorist activity.
The White House is confident about building this coalition, but Steve, there are clearly varying levels of commitment.
Well, the family of one of the American journalists killed by ISIS has embarked on a new campaign. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Diane and John Foley are starting a fund to support families of Americans taken hostage and journalists reporting from combat zones. She says she's embarrassed and appalled by how the government handled her son James's case.
We were told we could not raise ransom, that it was illegal. We might be prosecuted.
Our efforts to get Jim freed were an annoyance, she claims.
We were just told to trust. He would be freed somehow, miraculously. And he wasn't, was he?
She appeared on CNN's Anderson Cooper 360. Steve?
The government threatened Yahoo with fines of up to $250,000 a day in 2008 when the company refused to hand over user data to the NSA. The information, newly released court papers, part of Yahoo's legal challenge that ultimately failed. Investigators needed hazmat suits to make their way through a home in Blackstone, Massachusetts, outside Boston.
The remnants of three infants have been found in the residence.
D.A. Joseph Early says the house is in a deplorable condition.
The house is filled with vermin. We have flies, we have bugs. We have used diapers in some areas as much as a foot and a half to 2 feet high.
A woman who lived there is being held. Parts of western Tennessee and northern Mississippi are cleaning up from a deluge. up to 6 inches of rain.
We've gotten a lot of rain in a short time.
Eddie Sevier lives in the flooded Memphis area.
I don't know if I moved. The cleanup is hard. I've been through this over just a year ago and to put my house back together.
American Ebola patient Rick Sacra has been given blood from one of the other Americans now free of the virus, Dr. Kent Brantley. Sacra's wife, Debbie, says doctors believe transfusions will help in his fight against Ebola.
I spoke with his wife before it was arranged, and we both marveled at the fact that they had the same blood type.
Now an anniversary wrapped in red, white, and blue. CBS's Dave Barrett says the Star Spangled Banner turns 200 years old this weekend.
2 centuries ago, the British bombarded Baltimore's Fort McHenry. Francis Scott Key was on a boat in the harbor.
He used his spyglass to see, did Baltimore fall?
That's the Smithsonian's Jennifer Jones.
The bombardment lasted for 48 hours.
On a stormy night, he looked for this flying from the fort.
The size of the flag was 30 feet by 42 feet.
Francis Scott Key pulled a letter from his back pocket and began
to write those words that later became our national anthem.
Brian McKnight has sung it at NFL games.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.
If you can't feel that enough to sing it the way he wrote it.
Through the perilous fight.
What it's meant for 200 years now, then you shouldn't be singing this song.
She may have sung it best. Whitney Houston, Super Bowl 25, during the first Gulf War. It still brings those 200-year-old lyrics alive. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
A scary scene last night at Milwaukee's Miller Park on Fox Sports.
Oh, my gosh. That ball hit Stanton right up in the face area, it looked like.
Miami Marlins star slugger Giancarlo Stanton was hit under the left eye by a fastball thrown by Brewers pitcher Mike Fears. Stanton suffered fractures and dental damage. The Major League RBI leader is expected to miss the rest of the season. A surprise guest on a Tennessee TV newscast had no business being there. CBS's Bill Whitney explains.
The morning anchors at WATE-TV in Knoxville were not prepared for a bat that somehow got into the studio and started dive-bombing their desk.
Did you see it?
There it is again.
Seriously.
News, sports, and weather were put aside as the bat stole the show. It took several hours to capture the bat, which was released outside.
That's the CBS World News Roundup for Friday, the 12th of September. The broadcast produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.